Last week we got to begin a new book, and we're going to be in John for a while, I'm pretty sure. John was the beloved disciple. John was the one that identifies himself as the disciple Jesus loved. And he, like I mentioned last week, he's written five of our New Testament books, the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. He was the only disciple that lived to a ripe old age. He was entrusted with the care of Jesus' mother and went and moved to Ephesus with her, took care of her until she died. And then according to the government, they wanted to stop him from spreading the gospel, the good news, and so they were going to martyr him. They put him in boiling oil. It didn't kill him. And rather than letting the rest of the world see this man that had survived the government's boiling oil treatment, they banished him to an island and made him live in a cave out in a cold, damp island. And while he was there, God gave him the book of Revelation that he could share with us. So he was able to continue ministry through his entire life. I kind of like the fact that God uses us in all ages and stages. And you know, if we just trust him, if we can lay down our lives and allow him to work through us, when things look like they're going the worst, that's probably when he's going to start doing the most through us. So I'm kind of excited, because sometimes things don't look like they're going the way I would like them to. I'd, you know, fix a plan, and, you know, Kathy and I are going to move to Sky Colmage. The church is going to double and triple in a year. And okay, here we're here almost 5 years now, and we're speaking to about the same size crowd that we were 5 years ago. And God is still on the throne, and he's still in control, and he's still the one that's moving each one of us through our lives the way he wants to do it, and not the way we want to do it. Isaiah tells us that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And when we look at how God sends snow and rain, and it does what it needs to do before it returns back into the heavens through evaporation, his word is the same way. It gets into us. And so I know one thing's for sure. In the last 5 years, there's been a lot of word that's been preached from this pulpit. And there's been a lot of word that's been tucked into my heart and hopefully into your hearts. And as that word is in us, it will grow in us, and it's going to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. Because we can plan and we can try to make things work out the way we want them to, but God doesn't always do it the same way, and his ways are better than our ways. That's hard for us sometimes to get through our skulls. It's like, I think I know better, Lord. Could you please just do this or this or this? And he's like, no, that wouldn't help you, because then you'd think that you figured it out. So I'm going to do it my way. Deal with it. I love you. Our parents were kind of like that, weren't they? How many of us had parents that would say things like, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you? I think that's God's way too. I mean, I think sometimes He can look at us and say, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. We'll see you, Mike. And you know, when you think about him laying his life down and dying on a cross for us, it's hot. We've got a new thermostat, and it's, we just have to find the proper setting. Yeah, we did have the furnace worked on. It's going to get there. If we can find the right setting, it should stay more steady than the other one did. We had an old, the thermostat we had before was one of those mercury ball ones, so it had to wait for the metal to expand and contract before it would flip, and so there'd be about a 8 or 10 degree difference between when it turned on and off. This one's more accurate. Good. Yes? Definitely. Thank you. Lord, we know right now that siren has a meaning, and you know what exactly is going on, and you know who's being sent out on this call. And we just ask, Lord, first of all, for those responders that are going there, and for whatever emergency that they're needing to go to. We're grateful and thankful, God, that they are willing to set their time aside and go. And we just ask for their safety, and that your presence will be with them, Holy God. Amen. Yeah. Do appreciate those guys and gals. Yeah, there's a lot of people in this community that go out on these calls. I don't know if you're aware that most fire departments have about 15% trauma and 85% medical calls. And this department has about 85% trauma and 15% medical calls. It's just the nature of with the pass and the highway and everything. So large portion of the calls that they go out to, they're going to find somebody that's been through some sort of trauma, whether it's broken limbs or something else. I mean, and you know, a lot of head trauma, things like that. And they're very skilled at it. And you know, there were a number of them. Mike was telling me this morning, and a whole bunch of people came up yesterday just to do more training and working with each other and making sure that they're keeping up on all of their different certifications. And you know, if you don't ever get over there to thank them when you see them around town or something, just give them a big hug, tell them thank you, and appreciate them because they do like that. They also like you to bring treats. Sam says he likes sugar cookies. It's one of his favorites, so just saying. Thank you, Lord, again for all of the responders, and just again keep them safe today, God. So the book of John, and I'm going to do a quick review. In John 20, verse 31, there's a summary statement or a purpose statement that John gives us. He says, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." The whole purpose that John wrote this gospel, this book, there were already three other gospels when he wrote this. He didn't write this until quite a bit later than the other gospels had been written. He was very aware of these gospels. We're on page 1618 in the Pew Bibles. But chapter 20 is going to be a ways past that. So, anyway. Well, just this verse up on the wall there. John tells us why he wrote the book. He says, I wrote this. I picked the miracles that I put in here, the conversations that are relayed. I picked all these things out for really one reason, that you can believe in Jesus and through that belief have life, eternal life. And if we are not aware of that purpose, and sometimes we read through a story and it's like it seems like John's jumping from thing to thing to thing and it doesn't make a lot of sense. But if we recognize that he has, through the Holy Spirit, woven this, it's all God-breathed scripture, and he's put it together in such a way that we, not just non-believers for their first time to believe, but we as believers even can build our faith in God, can build our understanding and grow in our belief. I love that scripture talks about, you know, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And I think a lot of us are there. It's like, yeah, I believe. Can you help me understand a little bit better and believe a little bit more? And I want to grow. So last week we started out with in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made.
That's referring to Christ.
It's referring to Christ, and we find that out for sure as we get further through this introduction. Verses 1 through 18 of chapter 1 are really an introduction to the book of John. There's a lot of depth in here. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it talks about out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. God is described as the Word. We get to see the overflow of His heart. When He spoke, He said, "Let there be light." There was light. And He spoke creation into existence. He spoke the stars into place. When God speaks out of the overflow of His heart, comes creation, comes all of these things. Now, one of the other things that we may not want to concentrate on or be aware of is also out of the overflow of His heart, His requirement for justice, there's going to be judgment. And so when we get to the end times and our final days, and when we meet our Lord and go face to face with Him, out of the overflow of His heart, He's going to say, "I declare you righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ," or "Depart from me. Go out of my presence." And it's because He's a God of justice. He doesn't let us get away with our sin. His Son paid the price for our sin. So there's justice, and there's a heart that flows. Also out of the overflow of his heart, he sent his very own son to be with us, live with us, and die for us. In him was life. That life was the light of all mankind. You know, the Word came to the earth so that we could see, so that we wouldn't be blind in the darkness. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it, or the darkness has not understood it. The darkness can't comprehend the light. Without the light giving life, we can't even understand that there is a God or know anything about God without him touching us and telling us and showing us. So this book, that was last week's sermon, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah, the Son of God. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. His desire, God's desire, and John's desire to give us this gospel is that we may have life in the name of Jesus. There is death. And as we go through John, there's a lot of contrast. You get the darkness and light contrast, life and death contrast. There's a lot of comparisons that go on. And God's desire is that none would perish, that all would come to repentance. So this week, it looks like it's like, okay, where does this come from? We're talking about God, Word, light, creation, life. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now this is not John that wrote the book. This is John the Baptizer. And he kind of gets thrown in here and it's like, oh, that seems arbitrary and weird. Why would you bring up John when we're talking about Jesus? Well, because this entire book is written so that we can know that Jesus is the Christ. We can believe in this Jesus as our Messiah, and we can have life. And the bizarre, weird thing is that God wants to use his people to share that light. So he sends John. John is a kind of a precursor to Jesus, even as we find in the other Gospels. It's also in this Gospel. John came to prepare people for when the light came. Now we get to do that when we're talking with our friends and neighbors, and we get to say, you know, that Jesus wants to know you. Jesus would love to enter your life, be a part of your life. Jesus would love to know you personally. And John came, he was sent from God. It's a little bit of a contrast here. In the beginning was the Word. Okay, Jesus always was. But John was sent from God. He's a man. It talks about he's a man. He's not an angel. Not an alien. He's a man. And he comes. His name's John. He came as a witness to witness concerning that light. That's the same word in the Greek. He came as a witness to testify. What does a witness do? They testify. They witness. Concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. Again, we get to that point where, why does John come? Why is he a witness? Why does he testify? Well, so that all can believe. There was 400 years since the last prophet. We had all these prophets in the Old Testament, and then there was kind of a silent period for about 400 years. We get a little bit of history there, and if you've got a Catholic Bible, you're going to be able to read some of that history through 1st and 2nd Maccabees and some other things. And you can learn about that time period. God wasn't totally silent. He was still working, but he hadn't sent any prophets. And now he sends another a light to tell people about the light. He sends a witness, and John was that witness. And the reason that John came was so that people could learn about Jesus and believe. I mean, we've got to keep coming back to this. Every time you open the book of John, you're reading the story, there's something about a healing, there's a conversation with Nicodemus or the woman at the well. Why is that in there? It's so that we can grow in our belief and have life. He himself was not that light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now that seems obvious to us. We know scripture and it's like, okay, yeah, John was John and Jesus was Jesus and they weren't the same thing. And yet, when you read in the book of Acts and Paul and some others end up in Ephesus and they're worshiping or following the religion of John the Baptist. There were a number of people that they knew about the baptism of repentance. They knew about John's baptism. They'd been baptized in the name of John, but not of Jesus. It was kind of a side religion, and they were seeking after God, but they'd missed that John was saying, no, I'm not the light. So, Apostle John here, the disciple, says, John wasn't the light. He makes sure that everybody knows, okay? Because when he wrote this, in probably around 70, 75 A.D., he's writing to people that some of them were probably still thinking that, yeah, there was this guy named John. I remember he baptized people down by the river there, and a lot of people followed him. And even when Jesus was working on earth here, there was like arguments sometimes between Jesus' disciples and John's disciples. Well, why would we follow Jesus? We've got John. It's like, and I think sometimes we get concerned about that too. In modern day, some people follow a particular faith and they get more concerned about the name on their denomination or on the sign in front of the church than they do about the light that it's supposed to be pointing toward. So it's like, no, he was not the light. John was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, okay? When you're driving down I-5 and you see a sign that says Portland, you're not in Portland until it says you're in Portland. Okay? It's just a witness. It's a sign. It's a way to point you toward what you need to look towards. And what John wanted to do the whole time was say, yeah, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Look, here comes Jesus. Go to Him. Follow Him. Don't follow me. Now, you can repent and I can get you prepped and ready. But don't stop there. So even if we could get 1,000 people to start coming through these church doors and we'd have to have multiple services every single week, it wouldn't mean a thing if it didn't introduce them to Jesus.
Amen. You're right.
Okay? It's not about what church you go to. It's not about what denomination you're in. It's not about who you think you're following unless you're following Jesus. That was verse 8 of John. Here's verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Okay, John's not that light. He wants people to know that light, and he says that light's coming. Get ready. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, you know, Jesus created all things. It told us that earlier. It tells us that in Hebrews. It tells us that in Colossians, a number of other places in Scripture. Jesus is the Creator. And He comes into the world, and even though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. The world did not acknowledge Him. The world didn't know Him or understand Him. Now, when Jesus comes to us, do we recognize Him? Do we acknowledge and understand and know Him? Or are we still back there thinking that it's about religion? That's what I need. I need more religion. I need to stop doing all these bad things and start doing good things and be more religious. You know, and sometimes that's the message that people are hearing. When it says he was a witness to the light, that word witness in Greek, it means witness, okay? I'm not going to tell you it means something else, but it's martyro. And from that word witness comes our word martyr. Because so many of the people in the early church that were witnesses became martyrs. And so it became a synonym, and then we come up with an English word martyr, witness. That's what it means. They witnessed they got killed. They witnessed they were beheaded. They witnessed they were hung on a cross. They witnessed and they were burned at the stake. And so they took the Greek word martyr, martyro, martyria, and we come up with an English word martyr. It's the same word. It didn't mean that until all those things happened. It just was witness. Could have been a witness of a car accident or a witness of, hey, I saw your sister yesterday. But it's like, yeah, they're witnessing to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. And by giving that witness, they were martyred, and that became a synonym. Just a little bit of an aside there. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And some translations will say his own people did not receive him, and they equate that with Israel. He came to Israel, and Israel didn't receive him. There's no particular thing in the Greek that says he came to his own what? We don't know. There's an assumption, it's implied, but he came to his own. Well, he came to the earth. The world didn't recognize him or know him or receive him. I think this is just a restatement of verse 10. The world did not recognize him. The world didn't know him. They didn't receive him. Again, when Christ comes to us, do we stop and accept? Are we still and know that God is God? Or do we kind of say, well, that can't be. I'm a man of science. I've studied nuclear physics, and I can tell you that he can't really be God, because that's just words. And I think that's part of why, too, back in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The disciple John introduces Christ as the Word because he's introducing him to the entire world. The Greek world at that time would equate that with word is logic, word is science, word is what holds everything together, word is what makes things happen. Now, when he's saying God is the Word, he's personalizing that. It's like this isn't just a concept anymore. It's not a thought that holds and unites things and explains things, but he's a person. Amen. He's the Word. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet. Oh, and I love that word in Scripture, don't you? Yet. Because that's pretty depressing. It's like, okay, God came, made himself a man, he came to the world, and nobody accepted him. That would be a terrible story. Why would we even want to share that? But this is the part that John is like, okay, but there's a reason I want to share this with you. Yet, to all who did receive him. So, for the most part, people didn't receive him. Is that still true?
That's right.
Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name. That's saying the same thing, two different ways. To all that received him, to all that believed in his name, he gave the right or the power to become children of God. Sons of God.
That scripture bothered me before I was saved.
Why did that bother you, Mort?
Because intellectually, I believe I've been taught there was a God in Christ. That was just intellectually, historically. But I hadn't received him. See, that's the part of the
yeah.
that bothered me until I came to Christ at 16 years old. Depended on my sins and received that.
Now, this concept of children. Children are like a son, a daughter, as produced after its own kind. Okay. All of creation is determined by, okay, when you go back to Genesis, everything reproduced after its own kind. If we're children of God, are we godlike? Are we following after the qualities, characteristics, and traits of God? Do we resemble God? Do we reflect God? If we're children, that's really where that needs to go. If we believe, We have faith. We credit or commit. Do you believe in the name of Jesus? And in the book of John, you're going to find a whole lot of different words that become the name of Jesus. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He's light. He's bread. He's water. All of these things. Everything that we would need for sustenance is attributed to God. Do we believe that? Many people that I talk with believe in science. They believe that all of this existed somehow, and it's evolving and changing into something else. And when it says that he created the world, it was like, it's done. This is a past tense thing. In the beginning was the Word. He always existed. And then all things were made through him. Everything that has been made by anything was made by him. If it exists, it was by him. Do we really believe that, or do we believe something else? And I think that, you know, there's a group of Christianity that thinks that they can believe in God, but not in all the things that Scripture says about God. And they can kind of pick and choose. And I think if we're not careful, all of us probably fall in that category one way or another. Yeah, this makes sense to me. I can buy that. I don't know. Do we do that? We've had ex-presidents that went through Scripture and cut out the parts they didn't like and ended up with a Holy Bible. Different kind of holes. You know, if you believe in his name, you're going to believe in his name being what he says it is, not what we think it should be. We create God in our own image many times. We put this image up in the sky and we say, this is God. And this down here, this is reality. But it says, yet to all who did receive him, if you received God, if you believe in his name, he gave the right or the power to become children, to become sons of God, to become heirs of God, as produced after its own kind. And this is children born not of natural descent. And that's where a lot of the arguments that Jesus has in the book of John comes from, where the Jewish people will come to him and say, well, we have Abraham as our father. It's like, well, that's nice. But if you really had Abraham as your father, you'd believe in me. And they're like, well, no, who are you? You know, we believe in somebody that's way back there, Abraham. And he says, before Abraham was, I am. And they're ready to kill him. Because he's saying, I pre-exist Abraham. Is that the way we believe in the name of Jesus? Do we recognize that he is before all? We're children born not of natural descent. It doesn't really matter who our grandfather, great-great-grandfather, all that stuff. We can get into genealogies, and it might be kind of fun as far as a diversion, but it's not where salvation comes from. Nor of human decision or a husband's will. It's not like, okay, somebody says, I'm going to have a baby. And then they have relations, and there's this baby. Okay? But born of God. This is a different kind of birth, and he's going to talk a lot more about this with Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John, about being born again. And Nicodemus was a teacher in the Hebrew world. He understood Scripture, but he didn't understand when Jesus was saying, no, you need to be born again. You need to have a spiritual birth. This can't just be your descendants. This can't just be you're born into the right family, you attended the right church, you did all the right things. No, you need to be born of God. How many of us determined our own birth? I don't think any of us were able to say, you know, okay, I'm going to be born on March 4th, 1956, and James and Dorothy are going to be my parents. And you know, we can go through this whole thing about, you know, we want to determine everything, but we didn't get to determine that, did we? That's from God. And it's the same thing with our spiritual birth. We can't manufacture or manipulate or make spiritual birth happen in ourselves or anyone else. Being born of God. These are written that you may believe. Believe in Jesus. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And that by believing, you may have life in His name. Thank you, Lord, that You are God and we're not. We thank You that we can even have the opportunity of belief. Thank You, Lord, that You sent a witness to prepare the way. And thanks, God, for all the other witnesses that are going to show up in the book of John. Teach us how to be appropriate, proper witnesses of the work that You've done in our own lives. And God, if You've not done a work, I just ask that You dig deep and turn hearts here. And for those of us that believe, help our unbelief. Grow us deeper in You, Lord Jesus. It's only in Your holy name and through Your blood that we can pray all these things. Amen.